You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode and you can work for 7 days with your own Broadway fitness coach on an online app. So check it out. No catch, no gimmicks. BuiltForTheStage.com. If you like Built for the Stage podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. It'd be greatly appreciated. All right, please enjoy this conversation. One of my clients is Blaine Krause, mm-hmm. and I went and saw the show a couple months ago, I guess. I was like, all right, this would be nice, you know, the Bob Mackie costumes, just to learn about Cher a little bit.
Yeah.
But my favorite part of the whole show was your dance number, hands down. And I'm not saying that just to, like, flatter you.
Thanks.
I left the show and was told Blaine, like, yo, who was that girl that did that number?
Mm.
So he was on the podcast as well, and we shouted you out. And I was like, listen, you know, if you want, you can check out the episode, but I'm a fan, so congrats on that. Wow.
Thank you.
I'll just conclude that little praise with, I've never seen a Broadway show twice. Never thought to. There's so much stuff out there.
Yeah.
But I literally would go back to see the number again.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not just saying that. It's incredible. So if y'all are listening out there, this girl's a beast of a dancer. So I want to talk about the number just to start off with.
Yeah.
When you booked the Cher show and in the out-of-town tryout, right, you booked that in Chicago?
Well, no, I booked the lab. So the lab happened in October of 2017. Mm-hmm. I think that's right. And then the following summer, we did the Chicago.
Right.
Out-of-town tryout, and then followed by Broadway. So I've been attached to it since the lab.
Got it.
Carnation of it,
so when you were cast in that, did you know from the get-go a kind of an idea with you be presented with this opportunity to, like, basically have your own featured dance number, or did it kind of develop as the show developed?
I knew that there was a number that they wanted to create, this Dark Lady number.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that I was going to be in it. But, you know, I knew that the day that we were sort of all help, I guess it's not, helping's not the right word. It was like, you know, when you create a dance, everybody goes into a studio and you just start dancing, you know, like, it's like,
collaboration.
It's a collaboration completely. I mean, there's never, I don't think that there's ever been a choreographer that just, like, comes up with each and every step on their own. They have to be inspired by people, by things, by words, by songs, whatever. So, you know, all of us, men and women, went into the studio one day, and they gave us, they being Chris Catelli and Mark Myers, gave us some phrases that were tango-based. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we all just sort of started to, like, play with each other and dance with our partners and come up with, like, cool phrases or cool lifts or, you know, just stuff like that. And then each girl sort of got, like, 20 minutes or half hour, depending on how your, like, stamina was and, like, how much you were coming up with to do with the guys. And there was a lot of, like, I mean, I remember I was, like, up in the air and Chris would be like, why don't you take her right foot and push it up and extend it out, and then maybe you can fall into this guy's left hand. And, you know, like, it was a lot of, like, placing pieces of puzzles together. And then from there, it was like they had all the patches of a quilt that they wanted to sew together.
Yeah.
Kind of.
That's cool.
So that's sort of, like, how it happened. And then I guess from that day, they were like, okay, we're going to have Ashley do it. So that's sort of, like, how it
Oh, it was.
It happened.
It was almost like an audition.
I guess
within the creating of the show rehearsal.
I mean,
process.
Yeah, that's like kind of old school, right? Like, you know, you're always sort of auditioning at the end of the day. You know, you're always trying to, I don't know, not prove yourself, but do your best. And that is kind of like, at least now or before, that's sort of what a lab was in the terms of it. You know, it's like you're experimenting stuff, and that's what a laboratory is, you know, and they're experimenting with you and they're trying to find the best formula for the show that they need.
Yeah.
So.
And then once that was set, did it kind of live in that place the entire time all the way to Broadway, or did it have kind of different phases?
It had different phases. We did it for the lab in like 2 days, in terms of like once we had that one day, then they rehearsed with me for 2 days, and then it was time to perform it, and then he had to kind of audition the dance for the directors and the producers. And then they like loved it, and I remember like Blaine throwing a shoe at me after it was done. Like, I just, that memory totally sticks out in my head.
He just couldn't handle you.
He couldn't handle it, and he threw a shoe at me.
That's great.
Anyways, so then it stayed sort of in its, you know, the way that it was from there through to the Chicago leg of the show. And then after the Chicago leg of the show, they, Chris Catelli and I got together, and he was just like, I feel like, you know, the first half is so solid, but then the second half, it's just like, you know, we all want to go to the next level. And we went to a studio with a bunch of boys and just like started creating more work for it, more lifts, more bigger and better things, you know. And he had a couple ideas. One lift is called the Cher lift, and it's basically like something that Cher did in a concert of hers like way back in the day. So we sort of like did like a spawn of that, which we thought was like so cool.
Tribute, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And then just taking, like, we had a torch lift where, like, they put me on their hand and they lift me up in the air, but we wanted to take it to the next level, so, like, it became a toss torch. So, and then by that point, we had kind of gotten it to its place, like, right before we started rehearsals for New York. And then once we were in rehearsals for New York, they brought an Argentine tango specialist, and he really like kind of just carved away at it and made it really authentic.
Oh, cool.
The first part of it, and then it was like lift, 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 you know, after that. So it was nice to have it be like it grounded the number and made it more gritty and real, as opposed to like this like Broadway spectacle number, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know, if I were an audience spectator watching it, I feel like that would probably be the best part of it for me, was that it had like gritty authenticity to it.
Yeah, especially ones that were seasoned or experts in that style of dance.
Mm-hmm.
I can appreciate that in other elements of theater or movies, when you can tell the production team did their homework of bringing in an expert, and you can tell when they just kind of are winging it, and you're watching it as someone who knows that field, and you're like, it's not quite how it is. So that's really cool that they brought in the expert.
Yeah, and I think that's like a tribute to Christopher Catelli and how like he's not afraid to like be like, come in and you know, if you ask for help or ask for tips or whatever. Like, he's always learning.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that just shows how amazing he is. I will say, like, once we got back from Chicago and I had time to be able to, like, dedicate to myself and my body, I mean, there was, I think, like, 2 months where it was, like, ballet every day. And that was when those last, like, 5-7 pounds came off and everything just went right back where it was supposed to go, you know? And whether that be time or doing the right thing, I don't know. You know, I don't know which one was the right choice.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But it takes time.
Yeah.
for a body to come back from that.
Yeah.
And not everybody's comes back the same way.
It's the ultimate workout.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah. What, having a kid or ballet?
Having a kid.
Oh God, yeah. That was, But, and that's the thing, like I would compare it to like, think of the hardest dance you've ever done in your life that like, just like really almost made you want to throw up every time you did it. Now picture doing that for 2 hours straight. That was what just pushing felt like. Like just pushing to get her out.
Uh-huh.
So anyways.
You were talking about starting dancing when you were younger. Was that like, because maybe it was just the ballet part, but it seemed like you were saying that you weren't loving doing it every day. Like, did you want to keep doing it? Or were your parents like, you should keep, you know, keep trying?
No,
you know?
I did. I loved it. I definitely loved it. I loved jazz and theater dance more. You know, I always knew that like that was where I wanted to end up. But it was just like, that was the track that I was in. I was in this ballet world, you know, and I thought if I had like had the heart for that, I probably could have gone that route, but it just, my heart wasn't in it. But my heart was always in, you know, the first time I saw Bye Bye Birdie, I wanted to be, Anne Margaret. And first time I saw, Annie, I wanted to be Grace Farrell, like all those things. That was what I wanted to do. I really wanted to be a Fosse dancer.
How old were you when you saw those shows that you said, you know, that's what I want to do? Annie and Bye Bye.
Oh yeah, like five.
Wow. Okay. So you.
Oh yeah.
You were not built for the stage, but born for the stage. You were ready.
Yeah, I think I went to a wedding when I was four, and it was my uncle's wedding, and I was like the flower girl in it. And they had a wedding band, and I walked up to the wedding singer, and I was like, you know, sir, do you know Somewhere Over the Rainbow? And he said, yeah. And then I said, can I sing it? And so then I barely knew, like, I think I knew, like, a phrase of it, like, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and then the rest was tee-da-dum. So, and then I sang the whole song for my family at four, and everybody just was like, okay, well, I guess that's what's gonna happen.
Right. No stopping that train.
Yeah, yeah, so. Okay.
So at the dance studio when you're growing up, mm-hmm. or maybe as you kind of progressed as a dancer, do you have a certain teacher or performer that kind of made the biggest impact on you, that kind of formed who you are as a performer today?
Yeah, there's two. So the first one, her name is Shannon McHale. She was, you know, my jazz teacher, my tap teacher, my modern teacher, and then as time went on, she became, you know, my main ballet teacher as well. So it was all her growing up. She would always, you know, do my solos, and she just taught me everything that I knew. And she runs a school in Baltimore now, and I always get to go, and I'll like set a piece on her kids every like 2 years, and and her kids are always so good. I see myself and her kids, or I see us growing up, you know, my peers and her kids, because they're just like, she's still teaching the same way, and she's really producing just like amazing, talented kids. And then my second person was Anne Ranking. Like, she was such an amazing dancer, such an amazing performer. She was just like when you saw her in Annie, just the way she would dance, like, it was so classic, but yet she just had such abandonment with her dancing, you know, just had so much heart in it, but also obsessed. And then at 13, I auditioned for her Broadway theater project camp down in Florida, and I got in, and I got to meet her, and I got to learn from her. And then every summer thereafter, I got to continue to learn from her, and I went there from 13 to 19.
Wow.
And then from there, I got hired to do Fosse, where I got to learn more from her. And so, I mean, she was a really big part of her, as well as Fosse and Gwen Verdon. I got to meet her and learn from her before she passed away. Just that whole world was a big part of, you know, forming kind of my trajectory as to where I would end up.
And, yeah.
And I mean, she came kind of, she came from a ballet background as well. So I, you know, I sort of like to say that, like, I sort of want to follow in her footsteps, and I'm happy that she paved the way for people like, you know, artists like me that come from like a thick ballet background and that have like a love for more than just that.
Yeah. So. What's, so you mentioned a lot of shows that are very dance-based. What was your favorite to dance so far?
Fosse and Come Fly Away. Yeah, totally. There's so much fun.
I'm a huge Sinatra fan, so how are you have an appreciate?
Oh. Yeah.
So how amazing was that to just kind of like live every night on stage to that music?
Yeah, that was pretty... That was like probably one of the most phenomenal experiences because of that music. It's so classic. It's so timeless. His voice, it's just like he's like just talking to you, you know, even though he's singing words. It never really felt that way. And the way that she, Twyla Tharp, figures out how to tell stories with steps and just like the way that you learn how to ground yourself with it. That was a big thing I learned, and finding your center. And I'll never forget this story. This was like one of those moments where you really get it. It took me years to understand it, and then I really got it. So we're in rehearsal, and she comes up to me and she was like, you know, Ash, what do you do to keep yourself in shape? This was after like a run of the show. And I was thinking like, oh, wow, okay, well. And I said, I do yoga and I, you know, do ballet. And she looked at me and, you know, shook her head and then proceeded to grab my stomach and shake it. And she was like, you only need to do abdominals. That's it. You have no clue where your center is. And like for years, growing up in the ballet world, it was always like suck your stomach in, da 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 da, all about the center, all about the stomach. And like for years, you get this like weird stigma in your head, like, oh my God, I'm fat. Oh my God, I'm fat. My stomach's hanging out. Oh my God. And I finally got it in that moment. It has nothing to do with like weight, nothing. I mean, it all had to do with like knowing how to like hold your center with these big men that are throwing you around, and in midair, you need to know where your center of balance is. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get that, like the number means nothing, the steps mean nothing, and it was true. And from then on, it was all about like learning how to work from my epicenter, which is my stomach.
Yeah.
You know, like that whole, your spine, having your spine set up correct, having your like each transverse ab, each, you know, rectus abdominis, like why it is where it is. So it was like, that was like the biggest eye-opening experience for me.
Yeah. All right. So I ask this question to every guest that I have, mm-hmm. and it's, what keeps you going every morning? Meaning like to raise your child, to be the best performer you can be, like mm-hmm. what, or in the past of like chasing the dream, mm-hmm. what is the driving factor, the rituals, the habits?
Yeah. I mean, for so long, it was always like your dream, whatever that dream is, like that's the one, and you know, attain, like getting to that dream, trying to complete that dream, and then topping it, right? So for years, that's kind of what it was, and it was always like get to Broadway. And then finally, I mean, at a later age, I got there. So I got there at 30. And had like a massive career before that for 11 years, and then got to Broadway 30. And then it was like, all right, what now? You know, like keep it going, like just do better than you did before. And now it's really like be the best woman I can be for my daughter. Be the best role model I can be for her. I don't always do that do it that well, but I try, you know. I try to make sure that she's as happy as can be, and sometimes that means like I need to be happy so I can keep her happy, kind of thing. You know, it's always about her.
How do you keep yourself happy?
You have to know what's important to you and know what you know, what your dreams are, or because sometimes, and then sometimes it's not always about dreams. Sometimes it's about the day-to-day stuff, you know, and like sometimes I'm my happiest when my apartment is clean.
Yeah. Let's kind of zoom in on that. So when I tell my clients, you know, the dream, the goal, mm-hmm. it's really made up of the small efforts mm-hmm. to make that big result at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, keeping your house clean, or yeah, those daily habits of like, or like you say, you know, being the best mom you can be, like what are those little things mm-hmm. or when you're chasing the dream and trying to build your career up mm-hmm. to when you made it on Broadway at 30,
mm-hmm.
what were those little things, not a laundry list, but a few you can like know, like, oh yeah, I try to do this consistently on a daily basis to kind of keep me on track.
Yeah, I mean, everything is so schedule oriented, so it's like, especially now with her, it's like, always like, do this by this time, feed her by this time, da-da-da-da-da-da by that time. But like, I mean, I think it's like making sure that you have, I don't know, it's so hard to say, but honestly, like making sure you're putting one foot in front of the other and like, And my steps might be totally different from your steps. Like, I need to make sure that, like, my dog has gone out, you know. I need to make sure, like, everybody's happy. I need to make sure, and that includes me, like, I need to make sure that I've been able to get to work on time so that I can warm up, so that I can do this, this, and this. You know, it's like, have an idea of, like, what your day looks like or what your life looks like. And it's always morphing, you know. Today it was, like, make sure you wash your hair, Ashley. Because, you know, even though it's a podcast, you still have to have clean hair. Or, like, tomorrow it'll be your, what is it, two shows tomorrow. Like, make sure you get enough rest and you, like, eat well and you get to work on time so that you warm up. And, you know, what's important to you in that day. And then, like, get X, Y, and Z done.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So you're basically just saying, like, make sure that you're in the midst of the now mm-hmm. so that you're ready for the then.
Yeah, you kind of have, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well said, sir.
Nah. you took us there. Just like the collaboration you were talking about in the dance studio, you took us there. My next question for you is, how is it being a mom and a wife to your daughter and your dog that we'll get to in a second, because I love me a dog.
I know.
How do you do that in a profession that could be known for being kind of self-absorbed or me, me, me? Okay. How do you serve the others in your life while still chasing after this career?
Yeah. I mean, it's a village. Like, you have to have a village of people that you trust, of people that, are smart, are like, gonna help you figure things out, because like, hey, like, we're moms, we're just figuring it, you know. I'm a first-time mom, I'm figuring it out on my own as I go along. But it's all about that. It sucks because it's like this, you know, this business is not like, as much as people want to be like, we totally support you, you know, you know, this union's not like super strong when it comes to moms. And I'm lucky enough that I have a husband that has a normal job, so to speak. He's a consultant, so like, he's always kind of jumping from project to project, but like, salary stays the same, which is awesome. So he gets our world, but he also has a nice, solid world too. Which totally helps. And it's, you know, we have sitters, we have an abundance of sitters. Thank God for Broadway babysitters. They, you know, there's always people to call on to come and help watch Eden. And
this is like a company?
Yeah, Broadway, literally, Broadway Babysitters, okay. Company. It's all full of actors, stage managers, musicians, like anybody in the arts. And sometimes they need survival jobs. We all need survival jobs when we're not working, you know, our plan A. And it's a plan B for them. And sometimes, you know, the kids are so awesome that it becomes plan A, whatever. I've met some awesome people through it. And sometimes I've, like, been so nervous because somebody's coming in that I don't know or I wasn't sure I knew, and they walk in and they were like an old friend and I hadn't seen them for years. I was like, oh my God, yay, you get to watch my kid. It's awesome. So like, there's that, like it's, you know, and I just like for the mom or for the women out there that are like, oh, I don't know if I'm ever like, that's never going to be me. Like, I don't think I can do that. Like you can totally do it, and you can totally have a kid and come back from it and go and, you know, be in an awesome show on Broadway, or you don't have to, whatever you want to do. But I just feel like if you're out there and you're like, I'm not sure, you know, just do it, try it, you know, and that's like kind of how I've always.
It's only a at least minimum 18-year decision.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Well, I just feel like so many people sit there and wait.
Yeah.
And they wait, and they wait, and they wait for the right time, and it is not ever the right time.
I hear it all the time, and now here you are saying it too.
Yeah.
You'll never be ready.
You'll never be ready.
You just have to do it.
No. And then there is nothing wrong with this, but then you could have a kid later and you know you missed out on more time, you know, and it always turns out the way it's supposed to turn out, and I get that. But if you feel like you're unsure and you know you have all the pieces of the puzzle but you just don't want to pull the trigger or whatever, you know,
yeah.
Try it.
Yeah,
it's all gonna work out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're smart.
Yeah,
we're thespians.
Do it at figure it out as you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Right on. So your other kid, your dog, what's his name?
Billy Joel.
And why is his name Billy Joel?
Well, that was his name when we adopted him. And we were like, we can't change that. There's no way. Like, I know people are like, are you that obsessed with moving out? I'm like, no, I'm not obsessed. I mean, I would love for moving out to come back. I love the show.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not that obsessed with it.
I actually have adopted two dogs. And I changed both their names.
Oh, so I did
change their names, yeah. I was like, okay, let's ask her what her favorite Billy Joel song is, why she named her. Okay, that was very, like, respectful of you. Like,
yeah.
To just keep his name.
Yeah.
All right, last question.
Okay.
This is it.
Okay.
So in the Cher show,
yeah.
I know Sonny and Cher. I knew, like, the Sunny skiing accident. I can remember being in my grandma's kitchen, actually, younger, and my grandma saying, like, oh my gosh, you'll never believe what happened.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know the history of Cher. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you know, she was impressive. Like a very, she was on a platform fighting for, like, basically women's rights in the midst of the entertainment world. Which was very cool. So there's a lot of, like, overarching themes in the show. What's one that you connect to most and maybe, like, try to apply to your life on a daily basis? So you start the show, it resonated with you, and now you're like, you know what? I need to live that out more now that I'm in the show.
I mean, I think that I connect with the fact that she just keeps going, you know? And like, she doesn't see the point to an end. You know, like, there's a scene towards the end that she's just like, I don't care, I gotta work. That's what I know, you know? And it's funny because I'm at an age where it's like, I'm still young, but for a dancer, things, you know, should be changing. And I should be, like, sort of tapering off or starting to learn new tricks of the trade. And, like, I don't see that. I just see, like, how do I keep going, and how do I make things better, and what's my next adventure that I'm going to do, you know? And that's sort of what I resonate with the most. I mean, I also resonate that I have a kid and all that, but I resonate most with that.
Cool.
How do I, what's next?
Yeah,
you know?
Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that's Ashley Fitzgerald. Ashley, I've never been in politics, but I'm going to start a campaign. The Cheetah Rivera Awards are coming up. And I'm going to get buttons made, posters.
Oh,
I'm going to do Instagram media, like, marketing ads get you nominated for that award.
Oh,
because
you
crushed
you.
It. If you're in the New York City area and you have not seen the Cher show yet, the women that play Cher are great. Blaine, my client, you're a great dude. But Ashley takes the cake up there. Make sure you guys head over to the Cher show. To see Ashley Fitzgerald tear up the dance floor. Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks.
And that'll do it with Ashley Blair Fitzgerald. Thanks again, Ashley, for being on the show. If you enjoyed the episode, please don't forget, rate it, subscribe, leave a comment. And if you're interested in Built for the Stage, remember, go to the website, builtforthestage.com, or go to the Instagram at Built for the Stage and DM me, and we'll get you set up for that free trial. Now is the time. No better time than now. All right, it's me, Roscoe, signing off.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.